The thing that I liked about that is that it says when we all get to heaven, not some of us, not a few of us, but when we all get there, then we're all going to go to heaven. Okay, at your table there are communion cups, and there's actually two parts to this. On the top part, if you peel it back, is the wafer, and then underneath that is the juice, which is representative of wine. And that night that Jesus was betrayed, he knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew what was going to happen. But yet he went there boldly. And like the Old Testament says, be bold and courageous in what we do. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now with Christians. And there's a lot of Christians that are being persecuted. There's Christians that are being kicked out of their houses. And they go about it boldly and courageously because they know that through Jesus, everything will be all right. And one of these days, we're all going to end up in heaven and we're going to see Jesus and we're going to be able to shout in victory because we made it. But while we're here, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be testing us. And that's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember him. Remember what he did for us. And that night what he did was he took the bread and he held it to heaven and he blessed it. And then he broke it and he offered it to his disciples and he said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then the same way he took the wine and when he blessed it, he offered it to his disciples and he said, take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. Given for you for the forgiveness of sin, for the many, for all of us. Fellowship with one another just as Jesus did with his disciples. And that's one of the greatest things that I find about communion. And that it does create that union between us and Jesus and what he did for us. If you'd like to make an offering to the church, there is it's a mailbox that's back on the wall. Feel free to drop your offering in there. This is how we can reach the people in our community. What we have done is we've identified 135 houses in this area right around the church that we want to reach out to. That's why you see us doing community things here at the church, because we want to bring those people in. Even if we can at least bring them here to the church, get them on the church grounds, then we can talk to them. And it's not necessarily that we have to hit them over the head with the Bible. As much as we can show them what Christ has to offer through us, our fellowship, our friendliness, our welcoming attitude, because that's what we want to have here at the church. And let me see, what do we got next? Oh, our Reach Out for July work day for neighbors who need help. Because in Romans 12:13, it says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. If you know someone that's in need of things, please let us know so we can put together a team of people and go out. And this was something that I found the other day, 7 rules of life, and I noticed from the back it was hard to read. So the first one, make peace with your past. Jesus didn't die for no reason. Put your past behind you and leave it where it is. Make peace with your past so it doesn't disturb your present. What other people think about you is none your business. Let them think whatever they're going to think. You just keep doing what the Bible tells us to do, and you know you're on the right path. That's what they're going to go. I don't care. Time heals almost everything. So give it time. And keep in mind, God is never late, and he's never early. He's right on time. But I don't know about you, but for me, I want God to give me patience right now. Number four, no one is in charge of your happiness except for you. And are you going to let your happiness go, or are you going to give up your joy to something else? That's totally up to you. Don't compare your life to others, and don't judge them, because you have no idea what their journey is all about. You only know the journey that you're on. And I don't know about you, but I have no idea what my journey's going to bring me tomorrow or the next day. I only know that we're all here together today.
Yeah.
God's going to open up the other stuff tomorrow, the next day. I have no idea, but he says he does. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I have a plan for you. Plan for riches and peace and all those wonderful things that God gives us. My problem is I ask him to share it with me, and he starts laughing at me going, you can't handle it. Anyway, so here's the next one for me. Stop thinking too much. God goes, stop thinking about it. Stop asking me what I have planned for you. Stop thinking too much. It's all right not to know the answers. And the very last one, smile. You don't own all the problems in the world. I do. Just kidding. So it's okay to smile. And right now, it is my pleasure to present Pastor Jim Pearson. Please come up.
You've never told me that, have you? All right, thank you. Gentleman in the corner and I worked together for 18 years. I don't think he ever once called me pastor, but he won't after today either. So, but anyway, thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. I get a little emotional, and you'll have to forgive me on certain things if I get there, and we'll walk on through it and get to where we want to be. My name is Jim Pearson. I've known most of you for about 12 weeks. It's been the best 12 weeks we've had in a long time, and I want to thank you for that. When I get done with the sermon today, you're going to probably know more about me than you want to, and I will attest to that. I tend to get myself involved because I come to you through me, from the experiences I've gone through. Quick summary, I was baptized in the Lutheran Church. I was confirmed in the Lutheran Church, but I didn't accept Jesus Christ until I was 38 years old. Best moment of my life.
Yeah.
I was in a Catholic church yesterday for a wedding. I broke down in tears during a wedding. It should be happy.
Happy tears.
But on the wall was our crucified Christ. And I just finished studying the book, The Case for Christ. And it talks about the pain that he went through in the crucifixion. And it's probably one that I've never had so descriptively done is that description. Also, I had a little problem with my sermon. 3 weeks ago, I started working on the sermon after Pastor asked me. I was so proud of myself. I was ahead of the game. Got all of my notes put together. I lost them. So I said to myself, okay, Lord, is it the devil taking my notes away, or is it you saying, I got something else for you to say? And he had something else for me to say. Same basic verses, not quite as many, and they're all on, if you want copies of them over on that table over there, the scripture notes. But same book, but a different thing. He said, finding God's purpose for your life. Because I'm still doing that, and I turned 75 in November. I'm still finding God's purpose for my life. So with all that, I want to open briefly with prayer. Oh, Father God, just guide my words and my thoughts today that I will minister to someone in this group. And may I use those in Jesus' name, I pray to you. Amen.
Amen.
So I question myself, it's okay, Jim, how can I recognize and fulfill the purpose of God in my life? Pretty good question, isn't it? You know what? We can be asking that all along in our lives because no matter where we're at in our lives, there'll be different things He wants us to do. It's not the same thing over my 75 years. Now, the first 10 or 12, I didn't have a clue. I was just doing things. There's events in our life which will cause us to think a little bit more, but maybe it won't. When I turned 18 years old and graduating from high school, was I thinking about what God wanted to do for my life?
No.
Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. I have seen some young people at 18 that know where they want to go. I was worried about Vietnam. I graduated in 66. I was worried about Vietnam, trying to go to college, which wasn't very successful for me, and women. Those things were important at 18. Now, I've tried to educate the young man in the back room that's been living with me for 18. And he don't listen at all. I told you I was going to pick on you. Don't worry, Dallas, you're just the first. You get to be about 22 to 80 years old. You might be graduating from college, grade school. You might be looking at a job. How do you manifest God in your everyday life, including your workplace? I never found that out until I went to work in the world. I went to work in a company that supported my faith. Now, I also had people that made fun of me. One of them was my boss. I had success. You see, I wanted at one time to be a lawyer. Thank God I didn't. Number two, the next thing I got when I finally got serious about God, I thought, should I be a pastor? And God told me no. He said, I want you witnessing one-on-one, and that's where most of us are at. So that may be one of your purposes in life. Is if you bring one soul to Christ, one soul, in your lifetime, you've done more than most. You get married. You have a partner. You hope it's successful. 50% of the time, it's not for many people. We get a second chance sometimes. And that's the person that we need to make sure that we try to be a godly person. We start raising a family. Then you get grandchildren. And unbelievably, we have a great grandchild. We want to make sure that we make a difference in their lives. Not only in the coaching that we should as a grandparent or a parent, but also as a minister of God. You get out of the army, you got to decide what's my new job. How do I decide where I need to go? Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you get there and it's not the right place. You move on. Sometimes it's the right place. You stay forever. You lose a loved one. You ask God why. You don't always understand. But God does. James and I were talking about this the other day. How will we, James, don't mind me, I'm not going to be fine. Just tell me about it. You know, how will we know some of these things? There's some of the things, if you ask me, first of all, maybe because I'm ignorant in a lot of the Lord, I'd have to tell you I don't know. But maybe there's some of the things that God is not going to let us know till we get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When we get there, he'll answer. My mom lost two children after I was born, my two brothers. My question is why? I know they're in heaven. I had more conversations with my mother about my brothers than she probably ever had with anybody else later in life. She was always worried, were they going to be in heaven? And I said, God, they died at birth. God took them straight to heaven. I believe that. And I will meet Francis and Patrick in heaven. I believe that, totally. And you know what, Pastor talked about smiling up here. You know what? We can smile a whole lot more when we know where our face is. Because we know that maybe we don't have the answers, but he does, and he'll let us know when it's time. You enter into retirement, a new era. What are we going to do in retirement? Well, Lord, I'm not sure what you want to do with me yet, and I've been through some 3 years trying to figure it out. Maybe it's Martinwood. I think it is. I've enjoyed our 12 weeks. Got involved with Jerry and Take the Streets Ministry. I've been in his way a lot, but that's all right. He keeps moving me out of the way. He tells me to go fetch something out of the trailer. That's fine. You know. But that's okay. I've seen more hungry people. Last Tuesday, we fed over 100 people on Tuesday. And he told me, he prepared me when we went to Sequels. He said, now you're going to see some more mentally challenged people at Sequels. Now, it's not a judgment factor, it's a statement. Right after I got there, and I was late, I wasn't there. Thank God you all were there to help me set up, and I appreciate that, man, you know, and help me take down because I had to leave. But the thing about it was, is about the time I'm there, here comes a young man, no shirt on, total body paint all over, and I'm talking about ink. And he is ranting and raving and screaming and yelling and jumping up and down, wasn't he? Unbelievable. I'm sitting there and I was in awe. And also, my natural protective instincts came into, because in the world I'm in, you push those people away. And Randy came out, the man that owns and runs Sequels. And I learned a new lesson. He went out and grabbed this man. Didn't touch him. Came out and talked to him for 30 minutes like this and let him rant and rave and go on. And he calmed down. Now, if it'd been my earthly self, it's a different story. Am I making sense? That's Randy's purpose. He brings these people into his store. It's a great new addition for our Take It to the Streets. They can go inside. We saw a lot of people come through there. And so we're reaching out. So how do you determine what God's will is for your life? I'm wandering around to the camera. I'm out of focus on it. There's three things that I've found work for me. Three things. First of all, I had to learn how to pray. And that's tough for me because when I start praying, the devil steps in and starts making me wander. I think about this and that and everything else for what I was scheduled there to talk about. I also found I didn't have to be real formal. He and I talk just like we're talking. Okay? I didn't have to have a lot of we's and does and all that other kind of stuff that usually you see in the Bible. God just wants to have a conversation with me, and I want to have a conversation with him. We'll talk more about this in a minute. The next thing I needed to do, I need to learn to study the Word. And I finally found to do that with certain devotion books. That's a way for me to study a little bit. I've got a new one I'll share with you at some later time. Helps me with that. And the last thing is listen to the Spirit. Jiminy Cricket used to be on Pinocchio's shoulders. Remember that? And used to whisper in Pinocchio's ear, telling him, don't do that, don't pull it, you know, when your nose is growing. That was Jiminy Cricket, okay? Well, I've got the spirit spelled with a capital S. There are some small S spirits that try to come to this shoulder. But I've got a capital S spirit, it's called the Holy Spirit. And he is whispering in my ear, if I'll listen. Does that make sense? And so that's what it's all about. The thing about it is let's see how it works. Now, you also want to make, back it up with the word. I just said that a minute ago. So let's talk about prayer. Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in a secret will reward you openly. The best prayer. Now, a lot of us don't have a room in our house where we've got a comfy chair. We can go in, close the door, shut off the light, be in the dark, not hear any TVs going on, and pray. The best place for me was my car. When I'm driving. That's oftentimes the best time for Deborah and I to have our conversation. We love road trips. Talk about a gypsy. She's a 24-hour drive queen, let me tell you that. But we do. We're on the road in a car. You can't do that in an airplane. You can't do it, well, you might be able to do it in a train. But in a car, we have some of our best conversations going back and forth. Now, the other thing I want to talk about prayer is your frequency. Just having a quick one in the morning or a quick one when you go to bed isn't enough. Daniel used to pray 3 times a day. And I'm guessing his prayers were probably a little bit longer than 5 minutes. But if we could at least start 5 minutes 3 times a day, that's a good start. Does that make sense? Also, we want to make sure that we're listening during our prayers and not just talking. I have a bad habit of running my mouth, as you can see. But I need to learn to listen. Also watching, like I did Randy the other day. I was awed, Jerry. I didn't have enough time to talk to him. I was in awe of Randy yesterday. I mean, I would have called 911. That's how out of sorts he was. And then once we listen, we need to go out and validate God's responses. Now you see, in 1 Corinthians 12:4, we can learn how to study to do our validation. There are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are a diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. That's out of the NIV. And we need to examine our gifts. And if we go on down to Corinthians 4:28, and I'm just going to summarize these for you. These are the gifts that are out there. There's an apostle. There's not a lot of apostles out there. But they're the messengers that bring the message of the Lord directly to a large population. There's the prophets that sometimes prophesy what's going to happen. Sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. We also have to validate, are they the Lord's messengers? We'll talk about validating in a minute. There are teachers. That's the pastor. I believe I'm a teacher. I'm not necessarily a pastor, but I believe I'm a teacher. That's what I've done most of my life. And that's what the Lord told me I needed to be, is a teacher. To help people see and walk through their life. There are miracle workers. Now, I'm not talking necessarily the miracles that we saw from Jesus. There are things like that that happen out there. But there are people out there that can do miracles, accomplish tasks that all of a sudden happen. In small ways, I'm going to pick on Travis. You don't know Travis. We had a problem with our air conditioner. I consider this a miracle. A guy told us it was going to cost $4,000 to $5,000 to fix that air conditioner. Travis's company fixed it for $400. That's a miracle. There's healing. Healing's important. I'm not talking the miraculous coming back from the dead, although I believe that can happen. I've never seen it, but I have heard of incidents of it. It's very rare in this day and age. I have seen people with shortened legs get a little bit longer. I can't totally explain it to you, but I know people that are healed of cancer. I know people that are healed from all kinds of things. I have a friend whose wife was called when he was in the hospital. He was in the VA. His wife was called 3 times in the middle of the night to say, you need to come because he's not going to make it to tell him in the morning because of COVID. And he survived it 3 different times. That's a healing. We've claimed healings. But there are healings. But they're in what I call the everyday environment. We're looking past God sometimes, and He's right there. There are helps. This is a church of helps ministries. Jerry's ministry. Jim. And many of the others in here. You're all part of a helps ministry. You're in administrations. That's a task. That's a task. We need people to keep us organized. God knows I do. And then there are people that speak in tongues. Now, tongues can be all kinds of different interpretations. I don't even want to go there today. Okay? But that's another ministry. Now, the last one we talked about, listening to the Spirit. Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder. Except he's more powerful. In John, 1 John 4, 1 through 6, I'm going to paraphrase this, okay, because there's a lot of text. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. Because you're going to have people whispering in your ear to do things you shouldn't be doing. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And we're in a world where we see that a lot today. So how can I test the Spirit to see if it's God's Spirit? Well, it's a 3-pronged test. Every spirit that's truly a spirit from God is going to show you, not necessarily in words, but in their action, that they are from God and they believe in Jesus. That's what I saw when I walked into this church. This church emulates love. My bride showed me a different faith than this very structured faith I came from, and I'm not trying to condemn that. I one time was told by a pastor, we each need a different form of church depending upon where we're at in our life. Does that make sense? But I don't need a church to condemn me, and there's some that do. I don't need a church to make me feel judged all the time. I need a church to tell me about the love of Jesus Christ. And that's what I felt when I came in here. Thanks to Pastor and his wife. she's a pastor too. So those are the kind of things that you can test that spirit. You also can see that whatever they're doing, for whatever reason, and they don't even know it, they're bringing you a message that is greater than this world. That's the second test. They're telling you that the good I'm asking you to do, or the thing I'm asking you to do, will benefit me. And I'm talking about God saying that. Is what I'm doing benefiting God? And it might be just sitting in a hospital holding somebody's hand, or being a nurse that helps you through your mother's death. We are all of God, from God. You are, and I am, you guys all are. We're all of God. So we are all equals. Although we are all different, we are all equal. So as we walk out into this world, we need to listen to the Spirit of God. The people that are of God will demonstrate God's love. They will be validated from my study of the Scriptures. And in them, you will see the humility of faith. They will not be bragging, and they not be boastful. They may be bold, but not boastful. And by that, you will know that the Spirit has spoken to you. So with this, I thank you for listening. And let us pray. Father God, I hope these words have reached the hearts of many. I hope I've shared your words the way you want them. And I hope that each day we will search for our purpose in you and try to fulfill it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And if you would all bow your heads and close your eyes, please. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes, if today in your life you have not yet given Jesus to be your Savior, I ask for you to raise your hands. I ask you to close your eyes because it's no one's business but the person that's raising their hands. If you have given your heart to Jesus, or if you have rededicated your heart to Jesus, would you raise your hands? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. For these we are thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Go and enjoy. Pastor, come.